The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we're doing a little detour today. Oh, I want to say a methodology point about the detour, right? So I should put this up, it's going to take too long to find. In Rambam's letter to Ovadia Hager, then he advises him to, Ovadia Hager is expressing his doubts about his ability to learn Hebrew. And Rambam says, just start with the Mishnah Torah, like it's written in basic Hebrew. And then he says, make the Mishnah Torah yours, like make it your book. Okay, so I asked Rabbi Zucker once how to make it my book. I know I've read this in Rambam with you before. I got to do it for a little while. Yeah. That's it. Then you got it. You can do it multiple times too. So Rabbi Zucker gave me the advice. He said, what you should do is you should go through all Taryag Mitzvos, using the four places where the Rambam introduces the mitzvah, which is what we do, which is in the Sefer Mitzvos, in the Minyan Mitzvos at the beginning of the Yad, the Koseres, and then the first Halacha. And then he said, and you should, whenever you encounter any area in Halacha, look it up in the Rambam, okay? Like, even if you're learning something else. And then I went one step further. This is when they first released the one volume Rambams. And so I took the Mishnah Torah with me everywhere I went for years. I took it in my backpack. If you've ever seen my Mishnah Torah, I have six of them, but the one that with the cover falling off, I think that was because I carried it around everywhere. And what I would do is whenever a topic came up, I would look it up. And the first time I did this was during Pesach when we were at a hotel. And I just spent the entire Pesach, anytime I thought of a topic, I would look it up in the Mishnah Torah. And what it does is it reinforces it makes you see everything through the lens of Taryag. And even though this is just the Rambam Shita, you're seeing where it fits into the entire system. So the reason why I'm saying this now is because, you know, this is going off of our topic, but I think this is exactly why the Mishnah Torah was the first hyperlinked document, you know, in the sense that like, you if you find something in Shas in the olden days without the Ein Mishpat, Ner Mitzvah and all the side guys, and you wanted to explore it more, you wouldn't know where to look, right? But the Rambam, he wants you to be able to like know and have an intuition where to find it in the rest of the Yad and then like look it up, you know? So we saw yesterday that he says that if a guy comes to you, what?
I don't know. I think it's a little open in it that the Rambam is different than the Shas. I think the intention of the Shas was also that you could find it. It just that they had more faith than you would think one.
Oh, they had more what?
More faith and the reader knowing where the
pattern were in the could be, but I'm not even sure about it. I don't know if it was written for it was not written topically. It wasn't, you know.
No.
Yeah, right. In other words, the very fact that you have like how many mitzvahs, like he mentioned in Tzedakah, the halachos are scattered all over Shas, you know. So like I don't know if it was even written with that intent. So yesterday we saw that if a guy comes to you who's naked and says, clothe me, then you do have to check after him to see maybe he's not really poor. But if you know him, then you cover him lefi kvodo. And we saw the Avraham Rambam says naked doesn't mean naked. It means not dressed according to his level of kavod. So it could be dressed in worn out clothing or like it's all like ripped or whatever. So based on that, really based on our speculations, we went to this halachon kavod abrios. So this is also in Sefer Zerayim, Hilchos Kilayim, which is right before Hilchos Matan Asanim. And we were all referencing this halacha, but we didn't read it, so let's read it. Haroe Kilayim. Did this come up in one of your shiurim recently? Right for your last year. Okay, yeah, I feel like I heard people in the basement talking about it.
Oh, I don't know if I'm it.
Oh, okay. That's probably not where I heard it, but yeah. All right, Haroe Kilayim Shalatora Achavera. If you see Kilayim, so shotness, right, what we call shotness.
I did it with you.
Did it?
Recently with crossbreeding stuff with...
Grafton? But not this key line, though.
No.
Yeah, yeah, not taking it.
Oh, yeah,
the covered brios thing. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying before that.
Oh,
yeah. All right. So someone who sees key line shel Torah on his friend. So that's a shotness, right? Wool and linen. Afilu haya mahalach boshuk, even if he's walking in the market. I imagine whistling like the Mickey Mouse Steamboat Willie whistle. Okay. Kofitzlo he should pounce upon him, v'koreo alav mi'ad, and tear it from upon him immediately. Okay. V'afilo haya rabo shalim do chachma. Even if it's his rav who taught him chachma, we will see in the Makbili why that's relevant. Sh'in covered a brios. Well, you can probably figure out why it's relevant.
Covered a rav.
Covered a rav, right? So even though you're mechuyev in being mechabit this person, sh'in covered a brios doche iser lo sase hamaforsh b'torah. Because covered a brios does not push aside an explicit lo sase in the Torah. Okay. So that's the rule. Okay. So you got lo sase, covered a brios. Oh, sorry. That's not going to make any sense what I'm about to say. Covered a brios does not push aside. Yeah. So lo sase takes precedence. Whatever. yeah. Right. I was trying to fit in the cover of Rav and others. Okay. All right. He says, "Volama nidche b'hashiv aveda." Why is it pushed aside when it comes to returning a lost object? Kamoshi is ba'er. Right, you know what? Maybe we should read the Makbili now because he'll fill us in on the details. So, first of all, bashuk in the marketplace, b'merchav hatziburi. Okay, in a public square, kofitz lo v'koro alav miad. Pounce on him and tear it off immediately. I'm picturing like a golem like leap on. Okay. Mistaver shemeduber kishibarur shayahudi lovish kilayim. So it, obviously you have to be certain that the Jew is wearing kilayim. Okay. The heir lo haroe v'halovish sirev leposhto. And you point it out to the guy, the onlooker points out to the guy who's wearing it, and the guy refuses to take it off. In other words, you don't just tear it off, you tell the guy and give him an opportunity to take it off on his own, okay? That's what the Rambam says. Okay, yeah, right. Sorry, the Gemara says. Yeah. So it doesn't. Oh, someone else. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right. Fine. So yeah, I don't think I've seen the Gemara in a while. This came up in a Shavuos here. Okay. Rabbi Shalindo Chachma. Okay, fine. So he says because you're chayv and kavod. Okay, let's skip that one. So then he says mipne. So lama nidche hashev aveda. Why is kavod habrios? Right, pushed aside in returning a lost object. So what is he referring to? So Makbili fills us in. Nidche b'hashiv aveda, mitzvah saseh l'hashiv aveda. So there's a positive mitzvah to return a lost object. See, we're learning about lost. Yeah. No, we're not yet. Umitzvah lo saseh shlo l'his alim imena. And there's a mitzvah lo saseh to not conceal yourself from the lost object, right? Like, don't pretend you didn't see it. Just like with tzedakah, really. About im haya chacham ozakin mechubad, but if you are a chacham or a revered elder, Kivan she'afilu la'atzmo lo haya machzir, since you wouldn't even return it for yourself, meaning I guess it would be beneath your kavod to go and like fetch the thing, hu pater mi lahashiv es aveda labala, then you are pater from returning it to the owner, right? So let's just go over the case here. So someone sees a green dictionary on the ground, right? So if you're a regular guy, you see it and you pretend not to see it, you're over a lo sase. But if you're a great chacham and you see it, since it's beneath your kavod to pick it up for yourself, then you're a putter from returning it to other people.
Meaning, like, had you lost it, you wouldn't have.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess it's, yeah. To like the picture I get is like, you know, Jeff Bezos drops a dollar bill, even a $100 bill, even a $1,000 bill, then he's just going to be, I'm not going to soil my knees by bringing them close to the dust. That's how he talks, in case you wonder. Okay. So why is it pushed aside? So the answer is, because it's a lo sase that involves money. So who cares? Makbili says, Dini mamonos ba'im lahasdir es hayachasim hakalkaliyim bein b'nei adam. Dini mamonos, the whole thing of like monetary laws, comes to arrange or to make in order the economic relations between people. Sheyida kol adam lamamon re'eu, so that people will be concerned about the property of their friend. But it's not proper to push aside the kavod of the zakin because of this guy's mamon. That's a weird one. I mean, this is a whole sugya, right? But like, right? It sounds like he's saying that, like, that there is a. I mean, we see this in elsewhere also. That, let's say, for example, that in certain cases, when Chazal were setting up mitzvos, they weren't mechayiv you in a case where it's going to be where it's going to cause a hefsed mamon, you know. That's not what he's saying, but I'm saying like. Oh yeah, hefsed mamon.
No, I'm wondering about why in the English
Right. Right. So I've seen it by Durbanas. I have not seen this by a Derisa, right? Like he's saying that the low sase Derisa is pushed aside because of Kavod Hazaken. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So Velama Nidche Betumas Meis. Why is it pushed aside for Tumas Meis? So what's the halacha there? Nidche Betumas Meis. Mitzvah Akol Adam Likbor Meis She'in Lo Mishi Yikbor Osa. So every person has a mitzvah to bury a dead body that no one is there to bury it. V'hu Anikra Meis Mitzvah. That's called Meis Mitzvah. Mitzvah Zochala Al Kol Yehudi Gam Imhu Kohen Gadol Onazir. This mitzvah falls upon every person, even if he's a Kohen Gadol, which is a great level of kavod, who also can't be involved in Tumas Meis, and then Nazir, who can't come in contact with the dead. So why is that pushed? Why is their status pushed aside? It's fine. It's not a kavod issue for them exactly, but since the Torah specifies for both the Kohen and the Nazir, apparently for his sister, he may become tame. Mipida Shmuel Lamdu. Eno Matame. Aval Matame Lemes Mitzvah. So let's just see the thing here. Uparta Kasuv, Bhumash Vayikra, Uvhumash Mabin Bar Kasuv, Behetem Asur Lakoin Ulanazir Litami Lemes. So it says it's Asur for a Kohen and a Nazir to become Tame for a Mes. Basham Nemar Shagam La Achoso Eno Matame. It also says he cannot become Tame for his sister. Vinish Elas Hashela, and the question is asked, Madua Hiskir Kasuv as Achoso, as Ta Achos. Why does the Torah mention it's his sister? But Shuva, the answer is Kde Lalamit Shila Achoso Eno Matame. It's to teach you that for his sister he may not become tame, but for Meis Mitzvah he can be. So it's an exclusion that includes other any Meis Mitzvah. That's strange. Yeah, Yosef?
When you say Mitzvah, is a person who died doing a mitzvah?
No, a dead body that you encounter that has no one to bury it. That's the case of Meis Mitzvah. Then anyone has to bury it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, fine. And then let's just do this one more thing here. Valdavrish Isura Midivrei Sofer Midivrehem. So if the matter is Asur Midirabanan, meaning it's Kilaim Dirabanan, Harihu Nidche, or I guess, no, anything that's Asur Midirabanan, Harihu Nidche Mivne Kavod HaBrios B'chol Makom. It's pushed aside for Kavod HaBrios in all places. The Alpha Pisha Kasu Batora Losasar Mikola Davar, even though the Torah says do not deviate from everything that the rabbis tell you, which itself is a losase, Hare Lav Zen Nidche Mipne Kavod HaBrios. This is what the Shibushi was on. That Lav is Nidche because of Kavod HaBrios. So in other words, like this. So now I can do the hierarchy thing. Okay, so losase pushes aside everything. Okay. Even Kavod HaBrios. Okay, hold on a second. But then Kavod HaBrios pushes aside a losase midirabanan.
Yeah.
Right? Except for not except for. Okay, so let me say it again. Okay. Losases push aside Kavod HaBrios except for the losase of losasur.
Right.
And then you go Kavod HaBrios and that overrules Isurim Dirabanan, right? And then you got the Zakin and for a Lav that's the Mammon, the Kavod of the Zakin trumps that.
And then the Kavod of the Kohen Gadol or the status of the Kohen Gadol.
Right. That's also a separate exception. Yeah. I want to do one more thing. I want to go back really quickly. So was our let's do our misreading of this. Let's say we assume that this nakedness is entirely like naked. So I think it would. Yeah. Fine. According to Avram ben Rambam.
No.
And
according to him,
Are you talking about in Tzedakah?
Yeah.
No, right.
It doesn't only mean Aram.
Right, it doesn't only mean Aram. Correct, right.
It means that more than two Aram have.
Right, but the thing, though, is that I thought what you were saying yesterday, that you would think that you would have to clothe him completely, even, and not check after him if he's... And those, can you leave the guy naked, right?
Well, I'm saying it don't sound like that.
That you can leave the guy naked. Because he says, Botkin Afar Avshem Ramahu. Yeah. But what I want to show based on the fact that we went through this is I don't think that the Kavod HaBrios thing doesn't mean that you, I don't think the Kavod HaBrios thing means that you have to go, the Kavod HaBrios is not Machai of you to do positive things, I don't think. Right? The way that the Rambam's talking about it, at least. It's just that, Meaning, like, if you see a naked person, right, like a drunk Noah, right, I don't think covered brios means that you, I don't think there's a thing, covered brios says that I have to go cover him. That's how we were talking about it yesterday. And like, the only evidence we're seeing, I mean, there might be other sugyas about this, but the only evidence we're seeing so far is covered brios is a factor that you take into account about knowing, like, you know, whether to like stop the guy from doing Isser B'Yadayim or not. Yeah, Yosef?
Could you say that covered brios will force you, and that covered brios could force you to push aside your bonds, limiting you on how much you could
get? Yes, you could probably say that, right? Yeah, that would make sense, right? Yeah, so that actually is a good argument, meaning that if covered brios, it's a little confusing, right? Because the way we're learning it now, you have a chiyuv d'oraisa of de'machzor asher yachzor lo. The question is, we don't know whether this guy is in that category, because we don't know if he's an ani, right? So what Yosef is suggesting is the rabbinic requirements to like check him out, right, to see whether he's actually poor, would be overridden if you have a naked guy standing in front of you and you have to clothe him. It's an interesting argument. If he's fully naked, yeah, right.
That's
right.
That's why like, everybody said, like Avraham Ben Aram says that it's even if he's not.
Right, yeah. Can I just do one more quick thing? This is because I want to move on in Tzedakah tomorrow. This is just something I was wondering. Based on that Avraham Ben Rambam, that naked doesn't mean fully naked, I was wondering in Brachos HaShachar, you know, the Gemara and the Rambam have it that you don't make all the brachos in a row. You make them when you do the action, and you only make the bracha if you are chayiv in the action, right? So, or if you do the action. So, for example, he says, Kishashmea kol ha-tarnagol, when you hear the crow of the rooster, mevarach brachat Hashem elokeinu melechalam, hanosim asach vivina lahavin bin yom uvein laila. Kishalovish begadav, when you put on your garment, mevarach brachat Hashem elokeinu melechalam, malbish arumim. Okay? Kishaminech sadina, when you put on your turban, al-rosha on your head, mevarach brachat Hashem elokeinu melechalam, oter yisrael b'tivara. Okay, then he goes on the list. But then he says, hold on. Then he says that... if you're not chayiv in the bracha, you don't make it. And then he gives examples. Ketzad, for example, lan b'ksuso, if you slept in your garment, then you don't say malbish aramim when you get up. So I always assumed that the Rambam would hold that the only time you make malbish aramim is if you slept naked. But if you slept with any clothing on, then you wouldn't make malbish aramim. What I'm wondering now is if we see from Avraham ben Rambam that arum does not mean totally naked, it just means like not wearing the clothing that are befitting of you. So then what I'm wondering is when the Rambam says lan b'ksuso, maybe he means if you slept like in your like waking clothes, like the clothes that you were wearing for the day. But maybe if you have like sleepwear, you know, like pajamas or something like that, then you would make the bracha of malbish aramim when you put on your regular clothing. I don't know. I'm just wondering this now. This opens up a door to like, you know, understand the halacha. So I'll have to poke around and see. But yeah. Okay. Blin Eder, tomorrow we will go on in the Rambam.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.